whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and very happy to be sitting with a representative of the University Orthopedics at Newport Hospital. This is Dr. Valentin Antauchi.
That's right.
Did I call you Dr. Val?
Dr. Val, Dr. A, anything you want.
All right. Well, we'll stick with Dr. Val. I can handle that. And we're going to find out about University Orthopedics, specifically things going on at Newport Hospital. But before we do that, I want to get a little bit of background. I was sent a resume of yours, but it took 20 pages to print, so I didn't print it. It seems like you've been everywhere, done everything. So let's start with some basics. Where did you grow up? Where did you come from?
So I actually grew up in Eastern Europe, which is pretty actual nowadays with all the events going on there. I grew up in Moldova, but I came here as a kid. I was in California. I went to college in West Virginia, medical school at Jefferson in Philadelphia, and then did my training in Boston as part of the Harvard Combined Orthopedic Residency Program. I spent some time at Brigham and Massachusetts General Hospital. And at some point, right 2015, I decided to consider give Brown a chance, moved to Providence, moved to Rhode Island, and I have been very happy here. I have continued to grow my expertise in hip and knee arthroplasty, adult reconstruction. I have joined Brown as faculty, and I'm an associate professor of orthopedic surgery at Brown University, which really means that I love the interaction with not only the patients, but also students, residents, trainees. I run an active basic science lab. We look at multiple projects that could relate to total joints or hip and knee osteoarthritis, and also just stay active in the community too. I mean, University of Orthopedics covers a lot of the schools. I'm always involved in different teaching events. In fact, we have an upcoming lecture on arthritis and, you know, how to deal with arthritis and hip and knee pain at one of the nursing homes in Newport. So that's always been kind of part of the fun thing, as University of Orthopedics' general motto has been education as part of the clinical practice. So education is part of my big thing. I always focus on education, research, and clinical practice.
Now, how long have you been at Brown?
So I've been at Brown since 2015. So at this point, okay, is what, 8-9 years,
yeah,
or so.
Okay.
And it's been going good.
Well, you're in my neighborhood. I live on the east side, right near the heart of Brown University, and you're not one of those kids that keeps me up at night, right?
not typically.
Not typically.
I do have some long nights, but it's usually in the hospital.
Usually,
I always say that, you know, my weather is always 75 and fluorescent.
Well, let's see. Brown, going from Brown to Newport, one of the things you said was growing up in California, then going to college in West Virginia. That seems like a leap.
Yeah, I mean, I did not grow up privileged, so it's one place where I did get a full ride. So that you know, money talks sometimes, and I was fortunate throughout my whole education. You know, courtesy, you know, the American dream is that I did get you know, full scholarship for college. I didn't have to really spend any money at all through that time. In fact, I worked a lot through my whole college education and bought a house when I went to medical school.
Wow.
With the money, you know, from just working nonstop. And in medical school, I am an MD, PhD. So I not only did a medical degree, but I also did a PhD, which is a doctorate of science. And as part of that, my whole school was really funded by grants that we applied, which, mm-hmm, again, is another job while doing medical school, basically.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's get to what's going on at Newport Hospital, and a little statement about what's going on with hospitals in general in Rhode Island. The pandemic was difficult.
I think the whole country has suffered as related to the COVID-19 pandemic, but especially Rhode Island. We are a small state. I think a lot of the hospitals have been affected to a great length due to it. One big thing that we're still struggling right now, it's been several years, is the fact that we do not have medical workers. So anybody, you know, medical assistants, nurses, please, you know, the old adage was stay at home because of COVID. Now we ask you to stay at home in Rhode Island to help us take care of our patients. Up to 40% of medical workers have left Rhode Island to get better jobs, even across in Massachusetts. I know so many nurses or surgical technologists or medical assistants that will travel to Boston because they will get paid way more to take care of patients there versus here. So a lot of patients ask me about, you know, nursing homes or physical therapy facilities, and I think a lot of them are really pushed to the limits because of limited staff. It also, as you know, post-pandemic has been the great, you know, resignation or everybody retiring,
deciding
to, you know, burn out and take a break from work and daily life, and I think that has affected us more than a lot of other places.
Well, it's always been an issue where, you know, students get their education in Rhode Island and then leave, and hopefully that's turning around a little bit, and things will get better in that area. But it's interesting when you say how many people are leaving for better jobs in other states, even close by in Massachusetts and Connecticut. So I guess we have to do a little bit better job of enticing them to stay.
It's a beautiful state. And I came from Boston to Rhode Island, before that California, before that Philadelphia, and I honestly believe that Rhode Island is a fantastic state. I mean, the food is great, the restaurant scene is great, the ocean state, you know, with all the waterfront activities that you can do. Somebody quoted me, and maybe I'm wrong, but 60 to 80% of the state is actually parkland. A lot of it, if you go west part of the state, it's so much opportunity for living close to a lot of the great things that a city has to offer, like restaurants, like PPAC that I try to frequent oftenly. Like we have a, you know, Providence Festival Ballet, but yet you're right there in nature. So I think a lot of people do not see that. I think Rhode Island needs to do a better job advertising the phenomenal balance that it offers.
Well, we're going to put you on the tourism board. And between you and myself, I've always lived in Rhode Island. I've traveled and been fortunate enough to have performed with my singing group in all 48 of the states. But I always looked forward to coming back to Rhode Island. So we'll convince people. You and I will take care of that.
Definitely.
Let's talk a little bit more about your expertise in your area of interest. I also noted that you have some interest in sports medicine, probably using the wrong term, but in that area, right?
Well, so I'm a hip and knee adult reconstruction surgeon, and what that really means to me is bringing people back to the activities they like. Arthritis is what really I focus on, which means, you know, wear and tear of the joints. I mean, the weather has just changed, and I wake up in the morning and my back hurts, my hip hurts, everything feels sore, and it's important to really address some of those conditions and get people back to what they like to do. I mean, my priority, and I've had people go back to, you know, playing baseball, playing basketball. I have this story. I had a 54-year-old former Brown faculty that really needed a knee replacement, got the knee replacement, went back to playing basketball. He had a Thursday night league, and they gave him the MVP of the game. Now, I always joke that I said people were just too afraid to touch him in case they hurt his knee replacement.
No one followed him at all,
but,
right?
But it's totally a possibility. I have this video that I showed to patients, another patient. You're from, you know, the Westerly area, so this is a patient from South County. Who is an Olympic, senior Olympic hammer thrower. And literally 4 weeks after, he sent me a video really throwing the hammer a long distance, which is pretty impressive because you have to spin on that knee multiple times before releasing the weight off. And I'm proud of those effects. I mean, I've had people send me pictures from climbing Mount Washington. People, you know, I just have a picture. Somebody got second place in like the local, what do you call the new tennis sport?
Pickleball.
Second place in the pickleball tournament, Rhode Island pickleball tournament, which is pretty good after a joint replacement. But that's where the sports perspective comes in. I do some hip and knee sports related injuries. I do some knee arthroscopy. University of Orthopedics, we have the only hip arthroscopist in the state. So we definitely have that interest in sports. University of Orthopedics always covers the sports physicals for a lot of the schools in the area. Plus, as a group, we have been involved with, as I said, Providence Ballet. We've been involved with the Brown teams. We've been involved with URI. It's part of the orthopedic thing. We all love sports. We do sports. We take care of sports people.
There you go. All right. You mentioned arthritis as a major contributor to some of the problems. It used to be when I was growing up, you always thought arthritis meant that you were old and falling apart. But that's age doesn't have necessarily a lot to do with it, right?
No, and there's variations in arthritis. You have arthritis that can hit patients as early as 16 to 18. I'm also closely involved, and I'll give a shout out to the Arthritis Foundation, which always tries to get some of the research and get people's support for some of the research and things ongoing with arthritis. And it's interestingly because the upcoming gala is coming in October 14th, I believe, and they always have all these kids on the stage talking about, you know, their joints problem that are 18, 16, using crutches at those ages. I am, you know, in my middle ages, and still, as I said, I wake up, and last year I was supposed to run the New York Marathon, and literally I got to 20 miles in my training 2 weeks before the marathon, stepped on my knee, blew my knee. I have about a 6 millimeter, which is, you know, a quarter inch defect on the inside part of my femoral or the bone, you know, the thigh bone, which means I have arthritis. So it's not necessarily the old patients. It's not necessarily, you know, I grew up in the old country per se. And I tell patients that, you know, my grandpa just got a rocking chair and a cane, and that's basically it. But nowadays it doesn't mean that. I mean, arthritis can hit at any age. It just means degenerative changes or injuries to our cartilage in either hip, knee, shoulder, whatever joint you have. It also means that nowadays we try to get people right back to the activity. So after blowing my knee trying to do the New York Marathon, I did not do the New York Marathon, but managed to hike Kilimanjaro last year, about, you know, 8 weeks later.
Wow, Kilimanjaro, that's a good accomplishment. The opportunity for people to ask questions or get in touch with you can be done through Newport Hospital?
Either Newport Hospital, University of Orthopedics, or Lifespan in general. It's pretty easy to get a hold of all of us.
All right, excellent. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some more details about what goes on at Newport Hospital and University Orthopedics after this break. University Orthopedics at Newport Hospital. Specifically, we're talking to Dr. Val about things that happen at Newport Hospital. I'm Mike Mano, and we're very pleased to be finding out, at least I am, lots of things about arthritis and hip and knee replacements and things like that. And specifically, let's concentrate a little bit more about Newport and Newport Hospital. There's a lot of availability of help at Newport Hospital for someone who has a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Rhode Island is really interesting, as we were talking earlier. Patients do not like crossing bridges. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, a lot of patients on Aquidneck Island, which is Newport, which is Portsmouth, even going, you know, Bristol, Warren, and a lot of people on this side of the bridge, actually, Narragansett, Exeter, you're looking at Wickford, they really are struggling to travel to Providence or even Boston sometimes to get a joint replacement or get access to joint replacement. So we have, University of Orthopedics has partnered with Newport Hospital to try to provide a lot of the orthopedic local care right on the island. And that involves involves a lot of services that we did not have before on the island. Hip and knee arthroplasty. At this point, there's three surgeons doing hip and knee arthroplasty. There's a Brown trained surgeon. I went through the Harvard system, Massachusetts General and Brigham, and we just hired another fellow who came from Columbia. So we have all, you know, Ivy League representation right on the island. More than that, I have worked really hard over the last year in order to develop something called a Total Joint Center of Excellence, which means Newport Hospital is applying currently for accreditation with the Joints Commission in order to really be a Total Joint Center of Excellence, meaning that our total joints are going to go by protocol, really, following, trending the outcomes, how patients do, with the goal to really elevate the care that they get. At this point, only the Miriam Hospital is a total joints of center of excellence in Rhode Island. So Newport will be the second place that will really allow patients to not have to leave. I mean, in South County, you can get the care taken right there. Another great thing that has just happened is that we have looked for optimizing technology at Newport Hospital. And we have partnered with Zimmer to get the ROSA robot into the system. It was delivered to the hospital last week, and it is really, I think, going to optimize the quality and some of the technology for total joint replacement. I have previously worked with other robotic technologies. Basically, a robot, helps doing the knee replacement. But I tell people, just like, the Palm Pilot and the iPhone or the Samsung, modern things, I really don't like the stylus or having a device trying to do the surgery for me. I would like something that helps me do the surgery, directs me to do the surgery, but I still use my hands, which I have worked really hard to optimize, improve, and perfect, educate. Right, perfect. Yeah. So the ROSA robot really optimizes that because it is a robotic arm, but unless, unlike the other systems which try to cut the bone and really take the tools out of my hands, it actually puts the tools in the right place and allows me to still do the cuts with a precision that theoretically robotics would allow. And I think that's very exciting. This is, again, the first ROSA use in Rhode Island. And it really sets the stage for a lot of newer technologies that we currently look into integrate. Another technology that we've been trying to really put into Newport Hospital, and it's going to happen within the next few months, is going to be AI. So really integration of technology into the total joint. As of right now, we do this total joint, and then patients come in a year later or 6 months later or 5 years later saying, hey, my knee is great, but maybe I'm having a little bit of clicking or pain or something like that. Some of the new devices actually put a little sensor within the implant. So you can track your steps, or it can track movement within the implant itself, or it can track any changes in the environment of the implant. So it's a lot of interesting things that could be right into your implant. Your implant would basically be talking to you, and I think that's something, again, novel. It's something that I think can really elevate the care. So now you don't have to travel over the bridges to get really high technology and Ivy League, care. You can stay right in, on the island, but also patients from across the bridges are going to start coming into Newport to get that taken care of. So I'm really excited about it. Dr. Othmani is the fellow that came from Columbia, and that specifically, that was also his interest, where he really trained and developed and worked with the ROSA robot all through his development as a surgeon. And I think he was very excited. He really wanted this to be at Newport Hospital. I worked hard to get the right negotiations in place, and that's going to make Newport Hospital really a prime location for total joints.
It's amazing how everything just keeps changing. When I was in college, I was in a car accident and I banged up my knee and ended up having to miss a term in college. And in those days, if you missed and changed your graduation date, you were draft eligible. And so I got drafted thinking, okay, well, too late, I'm going. And it was during the height of the Vietnam War. And I went to the medical, through the medical process just before I went in. And the technology that they used to check out my knee was a cloth tape measure and a ballpoint pen. He wrote on my leg, and he said, okay, you got a torn cartilage, see you in 6 months. And and that was the end of it. And it was the now with you're talking about robotics and you're talking about chips and how much things have changed and continue to change. How do you, as a doctor, say, okay, I've got everything I need now, but then tomorrow something new changes that? How do you handle that?
Well, so I think part of being a physician, it's a requirement, but it's also our interest. As I brought up earlier, lifelong learning and education is part of basically what is ingrained into us. We continue to learn. In fact, I don't know if the general community knows, but in order to continue to be a physician in Rhode Island or anywhere in the United States, you have to take at least 40 hours, 40 credits per year of continued medical education.
So per year?
Per year. So we all continue. I go home and I read journals and I read books and I continue to do these things and we continue to take tests for the rest of our life, which is something that I don't know if I would.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm not sure you're encouraging people to get into the practice.
So, but I mean, the trade-off, as I said, is that I really managed to. I think I managed to change people's lives, and that's the trade-off for it. But continuing education is very important. And then again, following the technology and not jumping into the newest technology, I think it's very important too. I tell that to some of my trainees. We always kind of wait and see, and you never want to jump onto the next fad. Really want to make sure
it works first.
Results are there. Make sure that the things are working before we jump in, and that's been part of it. The only way to really see that is one is read, educate yourself, follow the data. I think data is very important. So research is important to me personally, but I think the research data is important. We all participate in a lot of conferences. So the nice thing with the University of Orthopedics is we are all faculty at Brown, which means we all are involved not just locally but nationally. So in fact, after today, I'll be heading to New York, and then in the next few weeks, I'm also heading to Dallas, where I give talks. I also sit down and listen to other people talk, just to see what's new, what other people are doing across the country, how to optimize and really do our best to keep up with the technology. Mm-hmm. Just so in this way, that robot actually helps me and doesn't take over my life.
Yeah, you don't want it to do that. But I guess the word you use was it's a tool. And just like a scalpel was originally, 200 years ago or whenever, the tools keep changing. And that's robotics is doing that.
Smart tools.
Smart tools. There you go. And I love the chip thing about putting that right in so they can tell you what's going on. That's amazing.
So I'll tell you the story about the chip, which is that came up at a meeting. But one of my friends is that they basically did a knee replacement. And usually, you're recovering, you're doing your physical therapy. So he was following the data, which we can track the data on these patients with their permission on how they're doing in terms of their recovery, just to see any changes. And this way we detect things earlier. And about 2 weeks later, he looks and he sees, this guy is doing 20,000 steps per day. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Something's off. The machine, the chip must be broken, right? So he calls him and says, are you okay? And goes, yeah, why? Well, something is wrong with your knee. I want you to come in and just get it checked out because you're doing 20,000 steps per day. He says, no, I'm in Vegas gambling.
Well, there you go. You find out things you don't necessarily want to know.
So,
now, how do you convince someone that they should come in and get checked out if they're reluctant about, my knee's been bothering me, but I'm going to just live with it because they think that it's going to be a major time-consuming thing and affect their lives for the next 6 months or a year or whatever. It's actually pretty quick now, right? And getting back to normal?
Yes, exactly. So for first thing I will address is that never be afraid to come see me or one of my partners. You know, even though we are surgeons, my goal with seeing patients is to not offer them surgery. That's what I tell everyone. I mean, at the end of the day, if we can get you away without surgery, that's the priority. At the same time, if everything else is exhausted, you've tried medications, you've tried injections, you've tried physical therapy, you're really limited in what you're doing, a joint replacement is a fantastic surgery. And not only that, but in the old days, in fact, when I went through training, some of the my mentors would keep patients in the hospital for 5 days. They'd go to a nursing home for the next month.
Rehabilitation.
Exactly. Yeah. They would really be limited in what they do. Last April, 100% of the patients at Newport Hospital went home the same day as the surgery, 5 hours later. So I tell patients, you know, you come in, you have your surgery, which is about an hour nowadays, actual surgical time. 2 hours later, we get you up with physical therapy. You get up out of bed, you walk down the hallway, you get up a flight of stairs, you use the restroom, you have your sandwich. If you can tolerate all those things, there's nothing that, you know, will stop you being comfortable at home, in on your own couch, in your own bed, having, you know, the good home-cooked food rather than the hospital cafeteria food. And really, you know, physical therapy comes to the house. Patients nowadays drive a week later. They go to the gym a couple of weeks later. As I said, I mean, I've had, granted, this was a senior Olympic sponsored guy, but 4 weeks later, you know, they're getting on the field and actually getting into sports. So it's not exactly the same surgery. I want to say it's the same surgery in principle as we used to do 10 years or 20 years ago, but the recovery, I think it's has improved tremendously.
Yeah.
Patients really get going.
This is one of those subjects or one of those programs that instead of being a half hour long should probably be 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or a weekly series because we're out of time. But I want to thank you so much for coming in and bringing your information to our audience. I hope it's encouraged some people to stay in Rhode Island. I hope it's encouraged some people to get checked out and get their ailments taken care of. Thanks, Dr. Val. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me here. And any questions anybody has, please reach out. All of us are happy to talk.
Whistle while you work.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's presentation of Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, hoping you have a great weekend.